Yeah, it's a very good morning to you. It is Friday, January the 28th. We'll have a bit of fun on your Friday this morning, but there is plenty we got to get through. We have a jam-packed show. The McCafe menu is looking really solid this morning. Brett Phillips with the latest from the Australian Open. Ash Barty, the first Aussie woman through until the Aussie final since 1978. Can she get it done? It looks all but hers at the moment. BP will take us through that, but also a big day with semi-finals actions on the men's side. And, of course, we have to ask him about Kyrgios and Kokkinakis and the all-Aussie doubles final. The Zatopek winner, Jack Rayner, he stood us up yesterday. We've tracked him down. He's going to join us this morning. He's an Olympian. He's a star. Looking forward to that. Adelaide Crows president, John Olsen. So the Crows were knocked back with their preferred city base. They've been outbid, so to speak. So we'll find out what's next for the Crows, as well as a number of other issues. And legendary Aussie tennis player, Grand Slam winner, Australia's very own Sam Stosur has called time on her singles career. She's going to have a chat to us just before 9 o'clock. But most importantly, your calls, the ENS open lines, 1300 736 736. Send us a text. Get that fired up this morning on 0433 98 11 16. Josh Jenkins is in the house. JJ, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kane. Thought it was going to be my big break. We couldn't quite hear you down the line over there in Adelaide. Thought I was going to get to do the show by myself, but not to be. You've made it.
Yeah. So how'd you would be fine.
Oh, I'd like to have. I think now that I don't have to do it, absolutely, I would have killed it.
Excellent start.
Looking forward to a little fun Friday. I tell you what, it wasn't too fun overnight. We had some significant storms over in this part of the world overnight, particularly in Geelong. I thought the house was going to blow over last night. It was incredible.
Yeah, I think we sent them your way because we had them on the previous night. The sky's lighting up, the thunder and rain. So everything in one piece in your part of the world. Your house is okay.
Indeed. I think Mildura up in near my hometown, up in the Sunraysia, had almost 200,000 lightning strikes during a storm. So, Mother Nature's not too happy at the moment.
No, it's, what is it, the El Nino? I think that's the wrong term for it, but there's some sort of weather thing happening, some one-in-a-lifetime weather event that's causing chaos. La Nina, I think it is. Thank you to you, Trent, for letting me know that. But very humid as well, real humid weather. And sweating bullets everywhere, left, right and centre. It was a big day of sport yesterday. We'll work our way through all of that through until 9 o'clock and love to get your thoughts on a lot of stuff that went down, particularly at the Australian Open. The doubles was through. I thought a more calm and methodical Nick Kyrgios and Tanasi Kokkinakis yesterday, but we might touch on that after 7 because everything with Nick comes with just a little bit of controversy. He's fired back at his old New Zealand mate that had a crack. We'll hear from that very, very shortly. But I was sitting on my couch yesterday with Lucy and watching, actually in the middle of the doubles, very invested in the doubles action that was going on, and I hear this banging on my door. And we don't sort of have a dedicated front door. You've got to find your way to our front door. It's a bit confusing. So if you've done it, you've done a good job. And there's this banging. It's almost on our side door, and I look across and there's two police officers, JJ.
Oh, hello.
Is there a worse feeling? I'm sure there is, but you sort of heart sinks. Yeah. You know you haven't done anything wrong. I knew the kids are okay.
Yep.
So that was the first thing. The kids are okay. So they're here to see me. Maybe it's a COVID-related thing, or maybe it's a traffic offence. So I've gone out. Officer, how are you going? You're very, 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 very formal and on my absolute best behaviour. I had to put a T-shirt on, JJ. I was walking around the house with no top on, so that wasn't a great sight. And get talking to these police officers, and what they were investigating was, we live reasonably close to the beach, like a couple of streets back. And if you've got a two-story house, you can probably have ocean views. Right. But in front of our house, there are these big sort of pine trees that sort of block the view. They were investigating someone who had poisoned the pine trees out the front of my house to get themselves a better view. Now, I've never heard of this. I knew it was a thing because I'd taken the dogs for a walk and there was these big signs out the front of where these trees are, and it said, these trees have been poisoned. We are currently investigating. It is a police matter. The police were taking it very seriously. I wouldn't know where to start with poisoning a pine tree, but My neighbourhood's in a bit of disarray at the moment. There's a bit of dysfunction happening. The neighbours are upset. The people across the road are selling their house. I had the old guy out the front playing his guitar with his amp just blaring across the street not that long ago. So my neighbourhood's in a bit of disarray, but poisoning trees and the police turning up at your doorstep was an eventful afternoon.
You haven't been watching Roll Tide War Eagle, have you? The Alabama Auburn sports documentary, because Harvey Updike, the Auburn fan, he poisoned the Alabama trees because that's where they'd go and celebrate after a big win. For whatever reason, they'd throw toilet paper in the trees to celebrate. And he was so angry, he went and poisoned them, thrown in the slammer.
I was going to say.
Did like serious time.
I've watched that. It's a terrific documentary.
Very good.
Recently, but there
are
was
you sure you haven't watched it recently?
No,
a little bit of inspiration.
Special tree. These pine. Well, look, it wasn't me, okay? But these pine trees are quite ugly. Like they're not a significant tree. But anyway, if you're listening to old mate who's poisoned the trees, the police are coming for you. They were out in force yesterday trying to get. They're never going to solve it. They're like, do you have cameras out the front of your house? I was like, no, I don't. Sorry.
It wasn't you, but it's certainly you're not unhappy about the situation.
Well, no, it doesn't sort of directly impact me because it's just a couple of houses down, so it's not doesn't add to my view or anything like that. But they're on the hunt. I'm telling you, they're coming for you. When have the police turned up at your door unannounced? 0433 98 11 16. It wasn't a great feeling yesterday. Did you see Photo Day at Fremantle the other day? And Photo Day is very well. Some players take it more seriously than others, don't they?
I could not stand it. There's a few things that I've already the other boys are experiencing that I don't have to go through, and that is one of them. I did notice a few funny looks at Fremantle. None other than the big dog. The big dog.
Yeah. He's so he had that crazy haircut last year with shaved on the sides and the ponytail. Wifle. He looks like a completely that was ordinary, but he can sort of is he the coolest player in the AFL? He's top three, I reckon.
Probably. What's your definition of cool?
Well, I just think he's just got that aura about
swag.
Him. Like he can, swagger, good looking guy, can back it up with a couple of Brownlows, superstar, so he can probably do what he likes, but I'm not sure he can pull off the new look. So we are talking about Nat Fyfe. If you've seen the images, we're trying to work out what he looks like. And sorry to keep referencing Happy Gilmore, but the first person I thought that Nat Fyfe looks like with his new look is Hal from Happy Gilmore. Now, you wouldn't remember Hal until I tell you that it's the Ben Stiller character who was the really mean... he wasn't a janitor. He was the worker at the aged care facility mother was living at or forced to live at. Here's a little bit of his work.
Sir, could I trouble you for a glass of warm milk? It helps put me to sleep.
You could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep. Check out the name tag. You're in my world now, Grandma.
A real nasty sort of operator, JJ. And that's what Nat Fyfe looks like.
He does. He's running the sort of the little prickly goatee, and it's strange.
It's mean. Wasn't smiling. Looks mean.
He'll look back on that photo and think, not sure about that one.
Mm. Who took Photo Day most seriously of any of your teammates? The new haircut, bicep curls in the gym before the photos.
Countless boys in front of the mirror with the wax, myself included. You want to look good. You don't purposefully want to walk in and look your absolute worst.
You've got to dodge.
Well, I just put myself in. I used to throw some wax in the hair before a photo, but there's nothing wrong with that.
In the gym with the bicep curls?
I didn't take it that far. I couldn't be bothered with that. I didn't do weights when I was supposed to do them for my performance, let alone for a photo. Don't leave it with me. I'll come back to you.
All right, question without notice. Apologies for that. As expected, Nick Kyrgios returns serve at his old foe, Michael Venus, who we'd never heard of prior to the Australian Open starting, but he's the Kiwi that had a crack and called Nick Kyrgios a knob after they knocked them out in the quarters, wasn't it, of the doubles finals. Nick returns serve yesterday, as predicted.
As for Michael Venus, I'm not going to destroy him in this media conference room right now. But Zabaios and Granollers are great singles players. They've had great careers. And, you know, I respect them a lot more than I respect Michael Venus. So, you know, I think the balance was there today. The quality of tennis was amazing. And I think the festival atmosphere was still there. And I think they embraced it. They knew it was an incredible atmosphere. Zabaios took a selfie with us before we walked out. That's how you embrace an atmosphere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Remember that? You know, not you're not losing a match and then getting salty about it afterwards.
Mm.
Pretty calm.
Yeah,
off the
water. Not bad.
He could have gone harder.
Could have. Well, Michael certainly did.
I thought the balance, as I said, was right. I watched all of that game yesterday, and whether it was the different court that they'd been moved to, and it wasn't as there's some more distinguished guests in the audience. I saw Rod Laver was in attendance, and Steve Waugh and others, the great Australians. The crowd was on a bit better behaviour yesterday. So anyway, they're through, and I want to speak about it after 7 o'clock in terms of what sort of achievement is winning a doubles title. Because I saw some commentary around social media saying, oh, if Nick Kyrgios wins a doubles title, he has lived up to his expectation and his potential. I'm not sure that's the case. We'll get your thoughts on that after 7 o'clock. 0433 98 11 16. If you want us to send us a temper text, we'll work our way through a few of those in a moment. You've got some concerns over Ash Barty or not?
Well, no, I've just been having it. I was thinking about, particularly on the drive in, the balance of having an easy run in versus being battle hardened. I think everyone's got their own philosophy. I think back to my footy days, and you think about the round 23 before we had the bye. You know, if you've got your spot locked away in the finals, do you rest or do you go in match fit and match hardened? So I asked BP yesterday, and his view was, you kind of don't get a say in that, do you? If you just play to your absolute best, and if you wipe the floor with all of your opponents, and so be it. But I just wonder whether, I mean, she's only got one game to go, but do you need that really, that tough game where you drop a set, maybe you drop the first set and you have to come back and really extend yourself? Because, I mean, from what we've seen, she's barely raised a sweat thus far in the tournament.
Yeah, she has. Did they say last night her serve's been broken once? Like, throughout the course of six matches, that's unheard of, really. I don't think it is going to matter. I get the sentiment, and if it was the men's version where it's the best of five sets and it may last 5 hours, then perhaps a harder audition would be worthy. But the fact that she can get this done in 50 minutes, like, honestly, Danielle Collins is a grinder, but she doesn't have the class of Ash Barty. We'll speak to Brett Phillips about that, of course, after 7 o'clock. But I just don't think it's going to matter. I can't remember an Aussie athlete in form like this for a long, long time.
She's in rare form. I know her coach came out and said there was a little bit more up the sleeve. I'm not sure how that's possible. She has been utterly dominant. It would be, now you have to, look, there's another match, there's a final. She has to go out there and win it. But it would be part travesty for her not to win the tournament from here, considering how dominant she's been. So we'll look forward to that one. I think 7 p.m. Saturday evening. Is that the start time, I think. So
Saturday's going to be huge because the doubles will lead into that. So Saturday is a massive day, one of those days where you just sit back and watch the tennis all day, hopefully, or all night. There's heaps of other sports we've got to get through as well. The Aussies got it done 4-0 last night after we spoke to Simon Hill. He said a win is all that they can expect and all that is required, and that's what they delivered, comprehensive over Vietnam yesterday. The women's Ashes will work our way through as well. The Aussies very, very impressive after a pretty slow start, it must be said, yesterday. So there's heaps of sport on the agenda. If you want to speak about any of it, give us a call and get involved in the conversation. We've got a massive morning coming up. Brett Phillips, Jack Rayner, the president of the Crows, is John Olsen. Aussie superstar Sam Stoser has called time on her career. Looking forward to speaking to Sam and looking forward to speaking to you. We'll take your calls. Lines available on the other side of this.
Kogan, make the switch to a great value credit card. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer breakfast on SEN.
23 minutes after 6 o'clock, Kane Corns and Josh Jenkins with you through until 9. It is a Friday. We've got a loaded menu for you. Plenty of time to take your calls and your texts. It was photo day in the AFL for some clubs the other day, and I asked Josh Jenkins to put a teammate or a former teammate in it. of who took it the most serious. Haircuts, a bit of makeup, perhaps a few bicep curls in the gym. He wouldn't name anyone, but this text coming through, dobbing in Paul Seedsman. Mm. Knowing Paul Seedsman outside of football, I can tell you he would be front and centre for photo day.
Yep, good selection. Good selection. Mm. He likes to look good, but that's okay. I think we all like to look good.
Nothing wrong with that. But
yeah. Paul's definitely up there. He'd be in the top three.
This guy, Brad's having a crack at me for saying that a doubles championship isn't reaching your potential. He said, now he sledges the Woodies. Yeah, Kano, they are underachievers. Well, it's about maximising your potential. The Woodies won 11 Grand Slam titles and absolutely scraped and scratched and clawed every single bit of God-given talent out of their bodies to win 11 titles, as well as gold medals at the Olympics and amazing ambassadors for the sport. But it's an interesting debate. We'll do it after 7 o'clock. Where does a doubles title rank? Boys, winning a doubles championship is like winning the AFL flag during COVID times. They don't really count. That's a bit harsh on Richmond and Melbourne,
and
isn't
the D's. I think it's a fantastic achievement to win a doubles title.
No doubt. But is it maximising your potential? His potential.
Yeah, well, we'll delve a little deeper a little bit later on. But, we might be on opposite sides of the fence on this one.
Okay. Hey, it's Friday. A lot of you will be out having a few quiet ones after work today. Knock off drinks. What about this story where a tequila horror, five clubbers had blood pouring from their mouths after downing some caustic soda rather than salt with shots due to a mix-up in a bungled nightclub incident. So you know when you have a shot of tequila, JJ, you have to sort of walk me through this because it's been a while. I can tell you.
I haven't had too many lately either, I must say.
You put the salt on, don't you? You have that first and then you
put it on your hand, don't you?
Yeah, or is it the other way around?
You lick your hand?
Is it the salt first or second?
Oh, I don't know, isn't it?
Anyway, involved. These clubbers thought they were having salt, but it's some sort of acid, and it's absolutely sent them into disarray. It was really serious, as you can imagine. They actually thought it was a terrorist incident, but that's not what I want to talk about. I wanted to talk about and tequila is one of those drinks that really nasty and can have lasting poor memories.
Life-lasting.
Is there an alcoholic drink that you overindulged with ever that you've never been able to touch again?
Malibu.
Is it real? Well, what's the story?
Malibu.
When?
Hesitant to say.
Where?
Under 15 premiership. cost me a few days school. Got suspended from school trying to catch the school bus home. Cannot even tolerate the smell of it anymore. At 32 years of age.
That's nasty, isn't it? 0433-981116. The alcoholic drink that you overindulge with that you haven't been able to go back to since Malibu at an under-15 premiership celebration. 17 years later, you can't go back.
What is Malibu? What sort of alcohol is it? Is it vodka? I'm looking at A-Rod. I feel like A-Rod knows
you're looking at the wrong person looking at me.
It has to be vodka, doesn't it?
Well, mine is vodka orange. So not vodka, but vodka and orange juice. Yeah, it was my second season at Port Adelaide when footy trips were actually a thing. You got no idea how seriously the playing group used to take footy trips. There used to be fundraisers. They'd start fundraising in March and would have these key meetings. There'd be player fines that you get fined for doing stupid things. That would go in the pool for the footy trip. There'd be nights where you raise money, and it was the highlight for a lot of people. Anyway, we went across to San Francisco, and the first night, I started drinking. I've got no idea what I'm doing. Started drinking vodka and orange with Adam Kingsley. Kingers, you love this story. He's just very experienced, just having a couple of quiet ones. And I'm smashing these vodka and orange, JJ. And I would have had, I don't know, maybe six, but straight after each other. And a couple of hours later, I'm in all sorts of trouble. So I've never, ever been able to stand almost the smell of orange juice and that feeling that gets you.
Wow.
Yeah, nasty. And that was the last time I touched an alcoholic drink.
I had a drink. Malibu is a Caribbean rum with a coconut flavour. Just makes me want to vomit at 6:28 on a Friday morning. What about Nicholas from Brisbane? He's got one for us. It's rum and coke. Nicholas, don't tell me you drink rum and coke.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah, sorry, lads. Typical Queenslander. Unfortunately, there's a really strange side effect that a lot of blokes that drink it and their kids. It gives you a black nose, a black eye, and a broken nose. So how to give that one up?
Yeah, no, I've played basketball in Bundaberg where they produce all the rum. It's people love it, Kane. It's too strong. Like it's just a vile tasting drink.
Yeah, I love
polar bears, but rum.
A lot of people getting involved. Tequila, you couldn't pay me all the money in the world to touch that revolting excuse of a drink. A lot of people chipping in with what your drink is. Few people had some goon in their younger
goons
days.
Goon's probably top of the pops, isn't it? The $8 little bag of wine.
Jager bombs. A few people not going back to there.
I don't know how. A lot of my mates, when we were younger, used to leave off a whole night with the vodka Red Bull. And then just roll home and expect to be able to go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's like having three coffees at once with the vodka in it. That's the same with those espresso martinis that everyone has now.
Yes,
like
my wife loves those.
I can't stand those. But anyway, I don't know how we got here. That's my fault. What is the alcoholic drink that you went too hard in your younger days?
Beers.
You can't stand now.
What we know what you don't like. What about what is your go-to?
Yeah, I don't mind a cold beer, like a lighter beer, Corona or
Carlton Zero or something.
Yeah, something like that would be my go-to
no
drink
alcohol
of choice.
It.
But that one doesn't. No, but you can get the version that a light beer or something that's easy to put down. Righto,